Good evening. I think that was a little bit better. I don't know. I wasn't standing up here, so I can't tell, Denny. But we're glad that you're here tonight. If you want to grab a Bible or navigate in your smart device to Acts chapter 17, that's where we'll be tonight. I didn't know what that was for a second. It was just the lights. Acts chapter 17 is where we'll be tonight. Let's pray together as we get started. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Father, thanks for the chance that we have to be here as family. And Father, we thank you for the chance that we have to worship together. God, you are such a holy and awesome God, and you do so much around us and so much in us. And Father, we are in awe of you. We are in awe of your beauty and your glory and your splendor. And we are in awe of everything you do and everything you are. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the love that he shared with us, that he would come to this earth and that he would be willing to be sacrificed on a tree so that we could one day inherit the kingdom. Father, we thank you for your scripture that speaks truth into our lives. And Father, as we spend some time tonight meditating on it, we pray that our hearts would be open, that our eyes would see and our ears would hear what you want us to see and what you want us to hear. And that as we leave this place, you would give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to live as you have called us to live. Father, we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you use a GPS? Anyone? My GPS is right here, and it is my sense of direction because I don't have my own. So if I don't have my GPS plugged in, I really can hardly get to the grocery store. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but in college it was not an exaggeration because I needed my GPS to get to the grocery store, which might indicate how often I went shopping, but that's another story. There was a couple weeks ago now, when I was doing some portraits for a couple, and we're doing some portraits on their family farm in this town in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, about an hour and 15 minutes away. They told me ahead of time that I probably would not have cell phone service, but that my GPS should get me there. And so I plugged it into the GPS, even took a picture of it and sent it to them and says, "Is this taking me to the right place?" They said, "Yes, that's the right place." And so I get in my car and I drive the hour and 15 minutes to this town in the middle of nowhere. And I drive by where the GPS is taking me and I realize I've passed it up. And so I turn around and come back to that same address. And I pull into this little driveway and immediately I begin thinking, this doesn't seem quite right. Because it's this big, long gravel driveway on this sharp hill, kind of going over some railroad tracks. I can't see anything back behind it except for this gravel dirt driveway. And so I realized this can't be the place. There was a mailbox there, but it was so rusted out I couldn't see the address. There seemed to be no signs of life anywhere. And so I drove up and down this road trying to find where I was supposed to be and realized it had to be right here. Has to be in that same place. And so I kind of parked my car at the end of that long gravel driveway before I crossed the railroad tracks. And I walked. And I saw what appeared to be an abandoned warehouse. Except it wasn't quite abandoned because I could hear one machine running in this apparently abandoned warehouse. And I began quickly to wish that I had cell phone service because I've seen horror movies. And this is how horror movies start. And so, I walked, I looked around, and there was a farmhouse there, so I thought maybe this is the right place, and there are also a bunch of junk, and it was a scary scene, and ended up talking to the nicest guy in the world, who said, "I have no idea where you're trying to get to. You can go talk to this lady up on the hill, or you should go talk to the city councilman in town, and they might be able to tell you where you need to go." And so luckily, I happened to run into the guy I was supposed to be taking pictures with, and he directed me to where I needed to go. And then, coming home, I decided to trust my GPS again. There came a moment, just kind of coming through the town, where the GPS told me to go right at a fork in the road, and I thought I came from the left coming in. But I have no sense of direction, and so I trusted the GPS. And so went on this road, and it was not quite as main of a highway as the first road. And I started to get a little bit worried, Like, I don't recognize this. I don't think this is the way I came. But the GPS told me I should arrive at home at the same time I thought I should. So I kept going. And the road kept getting darker. And the road kept getting smaller. There were less people around. Until eventually that road turned into a gravel road. And that gravel road quickly turned into a dirt road with a lot of potholes on it that I thought was going to tear apart my little Volkswagen Jetta. And then I smelled one of the most putrid smells I have ever smelled in my entire life. And I thought, this can't be coming from my car. It doesn't make sense. And so this, I just was not happy about this situation. Again, I've seen horror movies, and this is how horror movies start. And of course, no cell phone service. And so I kind of pull off to the side of the road, and I look at the map on my GPS phone, and I realize if I go about 0.3 miles, there's a road off to the right that'll take me to a main road that I know. So I'm just going to keep going a little bit further and take that road. Well, I get 0.3 miles down the road, and that road is not there. So I think, do I take my Volkswagen Jetta through the field and hope I eventually run into that road, or do I keep going? So I kept going and realized when it was going to take me at least 5 miles or so to get to another road of some sort, I don't like this. And so I kind of pulled off and decided, do I turn around or do I keep going? And I decided to turn around. And it took me a little bit longer, but I eventually got to a road that was inhabited by humans, where there were lights and traffic and lines on the road, and I felt a little bit safer. And so I turned around. In January 2013, there was a woman named Sabine who was this 67-year-old Belgian woman who was going to Brussels, Belgium, about 90 miles from her home to pick up a friend of hers. Except because of some faulty directions from the GPS, she ended up driving all the way to Croatia, which is 1,000 miles away. This journey took her across something like 5 international borders. She stopped several times to get gas. She stopped several times to even take naps until she finally hit the capital of Croatia. And after a few days, her son got worried, and so he called the police, and the police were able to track her down by tracking her bank statements all the way to Croatia. And a Belgian reporter talked to her, and this is what she said. She said, I was distracted, so I just kept going. I saw all kinds of signs, first in French, then in German, and finally in Croatian, but I continued driving because I was distracted. When I passed Zagreb, I told myself I should probably turn around. We have a biblical word for that. That turning around is the biblical word repent. Or repentance. To repent simply means to change the direction you're going. It means to go a different direction than the one you are currently going. And it means, in a biblical sense, to start moving towards God. In Acts 17, we have what is arguably one of the greatest sermons that we have recorded for us in history. It's a story. It's the sermon Paul gives on Mars Hill, on the Areopagus. And starting in verse 22, here's what the sermon says. It says, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along, I observed the objects of your worship. I found an altar with this inscription, the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of your own poets have said, we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands people everywhere to what? To repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is a great sermon. It is textbook missional evangelism. It meets the people right where they are. It doesn't make assumptions about where they should be. It meets them where they are. And you can tell that Paul's connected to their culture because he even quotes some of their own poets to them. And he uses all of this to tell them the story about God, culminating in the story of the resurrection of Jesus. And there is a lot for us to learn here, and we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but I want to hone in on verse 30. It says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. This is the heart of the sermon. And it's also the heart of the sermon in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is one of our favorite passages because in Acts 2:38, many of us have this memorized. Peter says, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We talk a lot about baptism, and that's a good thing. Baptism, though, is something that's tangible. It's something we can embody. Baptism is easier for us to kind of wrap our minds around than this idea of repentance, because baptism is something we see. And baptism is something that we can do and something we can look at and something we can point to and take pictures of. Whereas repentance is something that happens inside of us. Repentance is something that happens again and again. And so I want to just break down for a couple minutes this verse and what we see about repentance in this verse. And the first is that it is a great command. It says that he commands all people everywhere to repent. The commands of God are not something that we can take lightly. We are saved by grace. Let's get that straight. We are saved by grace through faith, not by anything that we can do ourselves. And yet the commands of God are things that we ought to take incredibly, incredibly seriously. I don't think I got that grammar right, but forgive me. When I was a kid, I remember having these kind of mental debates inside of my head when my mom would say something like, you should probably clean your room. Because I think, I know I probably should clean my room, but does that mean I have to clean my room? I never said any of this out loud, of course, but I had this legalistic debate that, did my mom actually tell me I had to? Or did she tell me I should? Was it a command or was it a suggestion? And I always assumed it was a suggestion. Because she told me I should clean my room, not that I had to. But we can't do that with God, can we? God commands all people everywhere to repent. It's not optional. It's not something we can do when it's convenient for us or when it fits into our life. He commands all of us, and so we have to follow that command. We also see it's a universal call, that he commands all people everywhere to repent. No one's left out of this command. All of us are called to repent. All of us here in this room are faced with the same call on our lives. But it also means that those folks at work that you've been hesitant to talk to about Jesus are called to repent. It also means the parents on your kids' baseball team are called to repent. And it means that waiter at your favorite restaurant is called to repent. And it means the person in the office down the hall who you argue with every day about politics is called to repent. And it means your neighbor that you don't get along with very well because they keep throwing junk in your yard is called to repent. Because all people everywhere have been called by God. God was not selective in his call on people. And that means that we can't be selective either. There's also a worldwide sphere. All people everywhere have been called to repent. There are no geographical boundaries to the call of God. If you were here last week, we talked about Acts chapter 1, where the apostles are given their marching orders from Jesus, and he says, you will be my witnesses and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and then even to the ends of the earth. And as we look at the story of the early church and we look at the way the history of the church has played out, the apostles took that seriously, that there are no geographical boundaries to the gospel of God. And then in Matthew 28, Jesus says, make disciples of all nations. There are no limits to God's call on people. He desires that all men everywhere should come to repentance. And because there's no limit on how far God is going to go, there should be no limit in how far we are willing to go. That means, if necessary, we will go across the globe. Right now, we have a group of college students who embody this very, very well. They don't always do it in the traditional senses, but we have college students who are literally gallivanting across the globe at times, building for the kingdom of God. Just spent a weekend with Kyle DiGiandomenico, who is one of our college kids, who is a challenge to me. When he talks about the way that he has served in places like Guatemala and Taiwan and Mexico and all kinds of other places, trying to organize a trip right now, or trying to at least get himself to India to partner with the James Connection, which is an orphanage run by the Holiday Park Church of Christ. It's a challenge because God's willing to go anywhere. How far are we willing to go? And it means, if necessary, we go across the globe, but it also might mean we just go across the street or go across our backyard to our neighbor's house. Or also might mean we just go across the aisle in the church building on a Sunday morning when there are 200 and some people here that we don't always know very well. Maybe it just means we go across the aisle. Or maybe it means we cross political boundaries in a world that is divided more than it's ever been by politics. Those aren't boundaries that God's gospel knows. Or maybe it means we cross social boundaries, talk to people who look different than us or dress differently than we do, or who come from a different economic background as us, because God knows no boundaries. All men everywhere have been called to repent. Then we also see it's a definitive object. The goal is repentance. That is the aim, that is the drive. Can you imagine for a second a world with no greed, a world with no selfishness, or no arrogance, or no violence, or no abuse? Can you imagine that kind of a world? I think we can all agree that the world we live in is messed up. You only have to turn on the news for about 5 seconds to see something terrible that's going on in the world. But if we fulfill this calling, if we live into this calling to call the world to repent, then that'll change. It'll change because people's hearts are changed. Because that's what repentance is. So this is the goal. This is the goal of what we do when we serve those who have needs. This is the goal when we serve those around us who are broken. This is the goal when we gather to worship. This is the goal when we open scriptures with people, is to see repentance, to see people's hearts changed. Jesus taught us to pray, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's about repentance. And we see it's a specified time. He says, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Now is the time. The Apostle Paul says, now is the day of salvation. That means now is the time that we broadcast this message. That means now is the time that we share this story. And that means now is the time when we need to make this decision ourselves, to repent, to pull off to the side of the road for a moment and make up our mind that we need to be going the other direction. That's what we are invited into. We are invited to share the story, and we are invited to participate in this decision. And so as we close tonight, we close with an invitation that we would make this choice. If you've never repented of your sins, if you've never turned your life around and began to walk towards God, then make that decision tonight. Be buried in baptism so that you can walk in a new life with God. Or if you've made that decision but are struggling, or if you've gotten yourself off track and you need prayers tonight, we would love to pray with you. So if you need to respond, would you come as we all stand and as we worship?